Master Head Sanhedrin. Hashem's help, we're learning on page Daf, Kaf Dalad Amud Bet 24b. In the middle of a fairly complicated sugya, dealing with how to understand our Mishnah. Mishnah gave us two rules. Rule number one, if a person accepts an otherwise ineligible judge, for example, someone's father or cattle herders, can he retract? Machoket Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says he can retract. Chachamim say he can't. Rule number two of the Mishnah, if a litigant allows his friend to take a lesser oath, not the full oath that he's required to take, can he retract? Rabbi Meir Chachamim, Rabbi Meir says he can retract. Chachamim say no. That's the Mishnah. Apparently simple, but not so, says the Gemara. We looked in the Gemara, we saw that there were different ways to understand what exactly is going on in the Mishnah. What type of case we're talking about, when exactly does this rule in the Mishnah apply? Different opinions. So, we saw that the different opinions in the first section of the Mishnah, dealing with retracting a bad judge, may, it's not conclusive, but may be based on the fact of whether or not the case is dealing with a mahulacha or an etenlacha. It may be, according to who we follow, it may be that our Mishnah is only dealing with one of those cases. Rabbi Yehuda and Rava say it's only one of those cases. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only mahulacha. Rava says it's only etenlacha. Rabbi Yochanan says no, in both cases, Achulacha or Atenlacha, they still have the same argument. Tov, then we came to a challenge, which is what we looked at yesterday. We looked at the challenge that the Gemara brought up to our current thinking. The challenge is like this. We didn't finish the challenge. We got through most of it. So let's review. We have our Mishnah. That's two. One. Yeah. Okay, so there's our two rules. Now, the Gemara brought the problem. The Gemara threw a query. Kasha. What's a Kasha? Kasha is, what cases are we dealing with? So in the case of the first one, we said there were two possibilities that it could be. It could be Mahulaha, or it could be Tenaha. And in scenario number two, there were also two possibilities that could be dealing with Biblical defendant oath, or it could be a rabbinic name. Both have two possibilities. The Gemara wants to say, because of those two possibilities, they actually match up. On the chulacha that I forgive you the debt, we said, is the same as the defendant's oath. It's the same thing. Why? Because if the defendant swears an oath that he doesn't owe the money, then that's case closed. Case closed. He swears and says, I don't owe you any money. Finish. No money passes across. It's the same case as I forgive you. And we can have the same logic for Rabbi Meir. The reason why he allows retraction is the same reason behind this case as it is this case. But there's no money transferring. And that's why he allows you to retract. Because he says you need, of course he doesn't say that, a covenant, so you need to have, that's why they don't allow you to retract. You need to have a full budget. It's the same reasoning that no money is passing here. But over here, in a tenlacha, this is the same as the claimant's oath. I will give you, it's the same as the claimant making an oath. When he makes the oath, then he has to pay up. So this is a case of paying up, and this is a case of debt is cancelled, if you like. There was no debt, right? Or it's been paid back.
So one is, there's no money being exchanged, and the other one, there is money being exchanged.
Correct.
And given that there's money being exchanged, that's when it kicks in.
Well, no, that's a different, that's when, depends who we're saying, who we're holding by, where the machloket is.
Right.
We've got three different opinions as to which one we're dealing with. But in any case, no matter which one you say we're dealing with, we can still say that they're both parallel each other. The reasoning parallels each other. That the biblical oath is the same as the machulacha, and the rabbinic oath the same as the tenlacha, in terms of what's happening, the transfer of money. And that's why Rabbi Meir argues here retract, and he argues here retract. Hachamim argued not, because they have the same argument. Same argument is taking place regarding the chulacha or a tenlacha, depending on which side of the coin you're looking at. It's the same argument that's taking place here too. Right, that's what the Gemara is now taught us. So now I know that it's the same argument taking place in Rule 1 and Rule 2. So the Gemara now asks the question, so why do I need it? Why give me both of these rules if they're actually the same argument? And Rabbi Meir and Hachamim are having the same argument here that they're having here. And it's based on the same logic. So the Gemara says, because I'm now seeing that that's the case, so now I have a problem. Why would the Gemara bring me two rules that are actually the same rule? Because I could learn one from the other. You only need to give me one of these rules. And I now know the logic behind Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. And I'll apply it to here. Or I'll know it here. And I'll apply it over here. Just give me one of these. I don't need both. If they're both actually talking about the same thing. Okay? Yeah, I've got it. You understand the question is here.
And I would say that I don't know whether you could put a Kalman over on that.
No. here, instead of a kal v'chomer, it's an equal sign. Kal v'chomer is a more than or a greater than or a less than. You go from like the lesser to the more. If it's here, then for sure in the greater case. But here it's equal. Which is also then, if you've got something equal with something else, you know the rule. Kal v'chomer, you take the rule and you apply it to something that's obviously even more obvious that it's going to apply over there.
No, what I'm
and
saying
here,
is,
it's an equal sign. This
if you didn't know that they were equal.
Equals that. You didn't know, well, the fact that they're equal allows you to make the same rule here, to make to there. If you haven't got an equal sign, then you need to have a kal v'chomer if you're going to transpose the rule. You're going to have a reason.
That's
here, the reasoning is that the reason I've got an equal sign is because they're both the same argument.
Right. And just on the face of this, I mean, after analyzing it, yes.
Yeah.
But it's like if you just simply said, you know, defendant or a claimant comes and says that, you'd actually have to analyze it to see if it's equal or not. Whereas if it's just laid out.
Right, yeah, so that's a good. So the Gemara is not doing it just to help us out by the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't come to do the brain work for us. Gemara is teaching us a rule here that if it's clear, even if you have to do some mental gymnastics to get there, the Mishnah is not going to double up and give you a superfluous rule if you could have worked it out yourself.
Then we're missing something.
Right, so there's an answer now given by the Gemara as to why we need both. Gemara is going to answer this and tell you, you're right. They are identical, they're based on the same rule, but the truth is we need both. If we only had one of them, I would have made a mistake. I could have gone wrong and not come up with this answer. If I only had one, I might have misunderstood something here. It's going to tell you exactly what. Because the logic is that you wouldn't. The logic is clear. This is the same argument as this. So the Gemara has to point out the error that you would have made. Because apparently you wouldn't have made any error. Apparently it's the same. So the Gemara has to show you why there's a difference that you could have made an error. And you wouldn't have got from A to B or from B to A if you only had one of them. You could have logically and validly come up with something else. You might not have got, if I gave you rule number one, and I pose a question, but what about case number two, would you rule the same? So we would have said, for sure, it's the same logic. God says, no, if I gave you rule number one, and I asked you about rule number two, you might have told me something different. Why? So the government's going to point out why you might have gone wrong.
Okay,
and
so
for that reason, then you need both.
So we're halfway through then.
So yeah. So yesterday, we finished by talking about the first explanation as to why you could have messed up and not understood correctly. So we will go from Tana Tole, four lines down from the top, second word in. 24b1. Halfway down the first column. Tana tole b'dat achirim. The Mishnah taught in the case of da'at achirim. Da'at achirim, the opinion of others. Tana tole b'dat atzmo. And the Mishnah also taught the case of da'at atzmo. His own da'at. His own opinion. Or his own decision. Right, the two cases of the Mishnah, the Gemara is now describing rule one and rule two. Remember, rule one is the rule about an ineligible judge, and rule two is about the case of a lesser oath. The Gemara refers to them now by giving them a description. The first one is described as da'at achirim, and the second one is described as da'at atzmo. So the first rule, where we rely on other judges, that's relying on other people's decision. But when the oath is on me, or on the litigant, that's the decision rests on me. Okay, so there, so the Gemara is now pointing out that there is a difference between Rule 1 and Rule 2. Wonderful. There's probably lots of differences between Rule 1 and Rule 2. They have to be relevant. Now, you can't just say there's a difference, this one's a judge and this one's a litigant. Has to be relevant. So why is this da'at achirim relevant, that it's different than da'at asmar? Gemara explains. Utsricha, it was necessary to have both of these cases in the Mishnah. Why? Di'itana tole b'da'at achirim. Because if it had only taught the first one, da'at achirim, baha, in this, Ka'mar Rabbi Meir. In this, I would have said that Rabbi Meir, the Matzei Hadarbe, he says that you can retract. In this case, in the first case, Rabbi Meir says you can retract. Why? The Ma, Miye Ma, the Maz Kele, because he might have said to himself, the litigant who accepted the ineligible judge, may have said to himself, Miyemar Damaskele, who's to say that he's gonna favour him? Meaning, he doesn't know, he's in doubt whether or not the judge is gonna be in his favour or the other guy's favour. He doesn't know. It's possible he might favour me, it's possible we might favour him. But it's not clear. There's a doubt. But Aval, the Toleva Da'at Asmar, when it's case number two, which is called Da'at Asmar, when it's based on an oath, Eima Modei Lehul Rabbanan, I might have said that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbanan in case number two. So let's look at that again. If you'd only told me case number one, if that was the only case that the Mishnah had, on the grounds that we now know that rule number two is obvious, you can learn it from rule number one. It's the same logic. Therefore, the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a problem. If really you'd only told me rule number one, I might have thought that Rabbi Meir's logic over here was based on da'at achirim. And that's why he said we could retract. But if it's not a case of da'at achirim, then he's not going to allow you to retract. He only allowed you to retract in that case because you had a factor at play which was called Da'at Achirim. What does that mean? It means that in that court case, because there was doubt as to who, whether or not the judge would find in my favour or not, I, the litigant, Rabbi Meir allows me to retract. Why? Because Rabbi Meir says that my decision to allow it in the first place was not fixed. It was not, where do we see that? Maybe we saw that in Rashi. Gamar, whatever that, they have a yada, the matkin lay, lava, and ma, hofa fada. No, I'm looking for the, where did I see that? The Gemara, somewhere, maybe Rashi, I can't see it now, used the phrase that he was Gemar, no. Look. Lava Mahoka. Okay. Don't know where I saw it, can't remember. Maybe saw it in a different parish. Anyway, so he didn't fix his opinion. The difference in rule one. What? Yeah, where's that? Ah, you're right, I missed it out. Yeah, it's in the Gomar itself. Mishum de Logamar, or Makne. Why? Because he didn't. He was not. He was not Gemara Magni. He didn't conclusively Gemara. He wasn't conclusive in his Kinyan. He wasn't conclusive. He didn't conclusively acquire the agreement. He was hedging his bets. Maybe they'll be useful for me. Maybe they won't. But I wasn't conclusively happy with having them on board. There's always a problem. If you pick three shepherds from the market, says Rabbi Meir, you don't really trust them. Fine, I agree, let's accept it, let's go with it, let's just run with it and see how it plays out. But I didn't really conclusively agree it. Annoying you?
Not to be admitted,
I don't know, but these guys, there's a whole strip.
What?
I guess. I can, I can't twist it out. Cover it. Have we got any, maybe sit, if you're sitting that side, you're looking this way. This side looking up. Okay, so what are we saying? So we're saying there's a difference between rule 1 and 2. Rule 1 has the factor that it's dependent on the decision of other people. Because it's dependent on the decision of other people, Rabbi Meir, you might have said this is where you could have gone wrong. You could have gone wrong in thinking that Rabbi Meir's machloket was based on the fact that Rabbi Meir held over here that the litigant never really conclusively agreed to it. I accepted it, but I wasn't conclusive in my agreement. And because I was never conclusively in my agreement, that allows me to retract. That's the wrong understanding that you may have got if you'd only had rule one. You might have looked at rule one of the Mishnah, the only rule that you had, and said, I see why Rabbi Meir is having a machloket over here. It's because of Da'at Acherim. But in the case of Da'at Atzmo, where there's no doubt that if you accept someone else to make an oath, then for sure he's going to make the oath. You can't claim later that you weren't sure he was going to make the oath. It's in his hands. Right? It's obvious you say, I'm going to allow you to make a lesser oath. He's going to take it. There's no argument. Oh, I never thought that that was going to happen. No, it's clear that if you allow him to take the oath, he's going to win. You can't claim later you didn't know what you were doing, that you thought maybe it would go in your favor, maybe it wouldn't. You have got a conclusive agreement. So if you'd only taught me... If you'd only taught me this, right? If you'd only taught me this rule number one, I may not have got to here. I may have said only in this case Rabbi Meir says retract. But if you brought me this case and I had to work it out and I didn't know the rule, I might not have come up with this same machloket. I might have said over here Rabbi Meir doesn't allow you to retract. He only allows retraction over here because here we had Da'at Acherim. Right? But here, this isn't the case of Da'at Acherim, this is the case of Da'at Atzmo. And for sure, in the case of Da'at Atzmo, there is no doubt, there isn't conclusive. Here, retract, we say there's no conclusive agreement. That's why he allowed you to retract.
But isn't that...
But this is wrong. This is your faulty thinking. This is a Gemara saying, if you didn't have rule number two, I may have come up with this as my svara. And then, if I had this as a svara, if I thought this was the reasoning, I would never get to here. I would never get to the fact that Rabbi Meir allowed you to retract in this case. I said, no, sure he doesn't allow you. You're only allowed to retract here because of this. And that doesn't apply here. So therefore, the Gemara, the Mishnah needed to give us both rules to show that this argument also applies both in the case of Da'at Acharim and in the case of Da'at Batzmon.
But can't you make that assumption with every single judge?
Make what assumption?
That it's out of your control and into their control.
Yes. Because you can make that assumption in
every single judge.
Yes.
That's my point.
Yes, so because you can make that in every judge, in every case, you might have said that was a reasoning. All judges, you doubt. But when it's an oath, it doesn't apply. So the Gemara wants to say, don't go down that route. That's the mistake you could have made. Because if you went down that route, you wouldn't have come up with rule number two. You would have said, what's the case if you accept a letter oath? Can you retract? You would have told me, no, don't wait. Both of them agree you can't retract. No reason to allow you to retract. I understand this rule, but Rabbi Meir said you could retract, but he was specifically talking about only in this case of judges, because obviously there was no conclusive outcome. But over here, he can't claim that he didn't have a conclusive agreement, assuring you what he was saying when he allowed him to say yes.
But jog my memory, didn't Rabbi Meir say you could retract with the oath?
Yes, that's the point. That's exactly the point. He did say you can retract. And therefore, because he said you can retract, I need both rules. Because if you just left me with rule number one, I would never have got to rule number two. The Gemara is now explaining why I've got two rules
logical contradiction.
No, you don't.
I mean, assuming you didn't have rule number two.
Right. Then you wouldn't have a contradiction, because you wouldn't make up rule number two yourself. If I don't give you rule number two, you have to work it out logically yourself.
But you couldn't.
You can. But you just would have come to the wrong conclusion.
Right, that's what...
You just would have got the wrong conclusion, doesn't mean that, and therefore you would have come up with the wrong halakha. And you would be learning the wrong halakha, and you would say everybody agrees, but based on faulty logic. Therefore, because of that faulty logic, and it exists, it's valid. It's good logic. It's just not the correct halakha. It makes sense, but it's not the correct halakha. The correct halakha is actually Rabbi Meir says, no, even in this situation, you can also retract. Therefore, I need you to tell me that specifically in the Mishnah, otherwise I would never have got there.
Now, does he give a reason, or is that later?
I don't know.
For number two.
We'll come to the reason in a minute. But, yeah. Okay. So now, what has happened up to now is, so let's refresh. Gemara says, rule number one, rule number two, they look the same. How do I know they're the same? Because Mahul Lafa Atem Lafa is the same as Biblical Oath. Rabbinical Oath is the same thing. Wait a minute. If these are the same rules, rule number one and rule number two, they're the same rules. Why do I need both? They're both the same. Answer. First half of the answer. You're right, they are the same. But if you'd only told me one rule, I may have made a mistake and not come to the second one.
Yeah. If we had only the second one.
Yes.
Then we could say it's a power home.
So we're going to turn now to if we only had the second one. First of all, the Gemara says, if we only had rule number one, you may not have got to rule number two, you might have made a mistake. And now it has to flip it, because otherwise you could say, so fine, you're right, that wouldn't have worked, so give us rule number two, and I'll work out rule number one.
Right, that's
so now the Gemara is going to say, and if you only gave me rule number two, I'd also make a mistake of not have got to rule number one.
That's why I was saying
we're going to come to that.
Could you do a Kal Homer on that? And
no, because you need to show which one is a cow and which one's a chomet, and why.
But I mean,
if you can show me why it's a cow and a chomet, then yes.
If they're equal, then under logic, if A equals B, then B equals A.
Right. But it doesn't mean cow and chomet, it just means they're equal rules.
But I mean, what I was saying is that if then. I'm sorry. What I'm saying is,
Yeah, yeah.
You need to go both ways with the logic.
Of course. You're correct. So we showed at the beginning why you can't go from 1 to 2, and now we're going to show why you can't go from 2 to 1. Because if you start with agreement, these are both the same. So really you only need one of them. That's what we said, you only need two. They're both the same. This is the same thing going on. So you have to show why one of them is not enough. But you have to say that against both of them. Fine, you show me why this one's not enough by itself. So now I need to know the other way. Why what? Okay, fine, so that one you can't know by itself. But this one could have been enough by itself. So why can't number two be enough by itself?
Just rule number two. Okay. Vi'i ashminam baha. And if you would have taught me just this one. Yeah, got it? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down. Third word in, the E.
What is the letter
oath? Oath ashwa. The case number two is the court, the Beit Din, can make one of the Baalei Dinim to make a shwa.
Lesser,
it can pachot mazomer. If the Beit Din make an oath, the Beit Din say you need to make an oath, they need to take a sefer Torah and with the Shem Hashem to make a shvuah gemura. But if the other guy says to him, you know what, don't worry, I'm not going to make you do that. It's very chamor. Just swear on your own life. Swear to me here on your own life, you don't know it. Can he then go back and say, actually, I changed my mind. Get the Sefer Torah. I want the full oath. I don't want this small oath. Can he change it? Can he put that over? Okay. So, Iyashminam Baha. If I'd only learned this, meaning the second one, right? We just dealt with the first one. So now we're onto the second one, Baha, the other one, this. If you'd only taught me this one, meaning rule number two, I would not have got to rule number one, right? That's in brackets. If you'd only taught me number two, I would have made a mistake and I wouldn't have got to rule number one. Why not? I would have said like this: Baha Kama Rabbanan. Only in this case, number two, Rabbanan said what they said. Rabbanan said here in rule number two. Now we're switching, and we're saying, in this case, I would have made the mistake on Rabbanan's side. Over here, I would have made the mistake on Rabbi Meir and his logic. I would have said, he holds here, and Rabbi Meir wouldn't have stayed over here. Now we're switching it, saying, if we look at number two, we would have made the mistake in Hachamim. Hachamim, who said, Hachamim's logic, who said, you cannot retract. I might have made a mistake. If you'd only taught me... I'll focus for a minute. I want to shout over. Okay. Now we're looking. If you'd only taught me rule number two, I might have said like this. If we'd only learned this one, Hashmina and Baha, we'd only learn number two. So yeah, so here, can't hear, can't hear. Right? I would have said, here, this is my error that the Gemara is now taking me down the path that I would have made a mistake. I would have said, only in this case, well, this is the only case I have, apparently, but I would have said, only in this case, Hachamim is saying you cannot retract. In this case, right, the rule says, what's the rule? If you only gave me the rule that said, you have an oath, and the other litigant says, you know what, I let you make a lesser oath. Rabbi Meir said you can retract that. Rabbi Meir says that the litigant can change his mind and demand the full oath, the Sefer Torah. I know I allowed you a smaller one, but changing my mind, I want it back. Hachamim say, no, you can't do that. You agree. Clear. But if you'd only told me this rule, I might have said like this. I might have said, only in this case do Chachamim say you cannot retract. But if you then wanted to work out logically over to here, I might not have said that they hold the same. I might have said, this is where they have a machloket between Rabbi Meir. But here they agree with Rabbi Meir, and they wouldn't have said cannot retract. They would have said they would agree with Rabbi Meir. Why? For the same reasoning that we learned about. Because over here, Da'at Achirim, and over here, Da'at Asmon. We would have made the same mistake, but just in reverse. We would have said that Chachamim agree that in the case of Da'at Achirim, there's no conclusive agreement. Chachamim also agree with this rule. And if you have a case of Da'at Achirim, Chachamim also are 100% behind that rule. There's no agreement in that case. But over here, Chachamim will say, that's what that rule does apply. Over here, the reason for Chachamim saying that you can't retract is because there was Da'at Asmon, it was conclusive. Because it was conclusive, that's the real reasoning that Chachamim said you can't retract. But actually, if you present them with a case of dodgy judges, then they would agree with you that here it's not conclusive. And they also agree that you can retract. And over here, I would have said in this case, Chachamim and Rabbi Meir both agree that you can retract. And I would not have got from case 2 to case 1. I would have made a mistake going that way. If you only presented me with case number 2, my logic could have led me down the wrong path. The same logic based on this difference between Da'at Asmon and Da'at Achirim. And that's why the government initiated to tell me both cases of Da'at Achirim and Da'at Asmon, true rules. In order to know that the Rabbi Meir and Chachamim had the same argument in both. But they do both argue. One retracts and one can't retract in both scenarios, and it's got nothing to do with this. This is a don't think that the logic is based on Da'at Achirim and Da'at Asmon. It's not. Because they disagree in both cases.
On the second part,
yeah.
Do they? They're not giving an opinion on whether it's who's making the oath.
No.
So they both assume.
No, they don't. We don't know which oath is being made, but it doesn't matter. Meaning, for this query of the Gemara, right? We have to take all the queries of the Gemara separately. For this query of the Gemara, it's irrelevant what the scenario is. We don't know what the scenario is. It's a biblical oath, it's a rabbinic oath, it's a machulacha, it's a tenlacha, it's irrelevant. In order to answer this question, the question and the answer that we're now focusing on is regardless of the scenarios that are at play. The question and answer, the question of the Gemara is, why do you have two rules that look identical? Why do you need both? Answer, I need both because if you didn't tell me both, I could have made a mistake on one another. That question and answer is separate to the other discussion, which is which scenario we're actually talking about. In any of the versions of Rabbi Yehuda, Rava, Rabbi Yochanan, you have the same point here. It doesn't matter which scenario you argue that this Mishnah is talking about, you still have the same problem that needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
So we don't know. According to this piece of Gemara, this section of the Gemara, you cut and paste to cut this out, the scenarios are irrelevant. It's irrelevant whether we're talking about Mechulacha, Tenlacha, Rabbinic Oath, or Biblical Oath. That's my first answer. The second answer is it's very relevant, but you need to have a very big head to understand how it's relevant to this argument. Meaning, yeah, you're right, it could affect, but not on the surface. meaning that on the surface it doesn't really matter. Surface, we've got a question and answer. We just want to know why these two are the same and why we need both. And the scenarios are irrelevant. But if you wanted to bring in the scenarios and say, the scenarios do come into play, so then you could, but it's you need an extra brain or an extra hand to juggle the ball.
Did you cover Rashi?
The balls of the... a little bit.
Okay.
That you need to juggle to do that. Yes?
Just one quick. The second one... We said that this may have, we may have thought that it would have affected the Chachamim's decision. In this case, they may have said they should be retracted.
Yes.
In the first argument that we had, did we say that maybe one of the rabbis would have changed their mind?
No, because we're only saying those hypotheses that you would have thought this, or you might have thought, if you'd only had one rule. If you'd only had one rule, so then you would have had to come up, use a logic to get to rule number two. And I might have used the wrong logic. I might have used the logic of Da'at Achirim and Da'at Tole. Instead of using the logic of that this is the same, if the Cholachana Tenla has the same as Kibla Tolem Abilim, that's the correct logic to get from rule one to rule two. That's why they're the same. But why do I need to write them down? Because you could have gone this direction instead, and that would have been wrong. Okay. So, let's just read the. What we just explained it outside. Let's just. This is a topic. All of the. I'll say it on this sugya, but it applies to every sugya we learn. It's a good sugya to go through, just sitting by yourself with a pen and paper. And trying to go through the Gemara and end up with something that looks similar to that. Right? So what's he saying here? So he's saying this applies this way, it doesn't write into it to... Then you'll know that it's more solidified. You've got it completely, but more, it'll be...
I said, that's really great, this is really good. Tomorrow.
All right, so... Because most of this you've got, and the bits that you haven't got... Between your brain and the page, you can fill in the blanks, right? Because you have all the pieces, and it's just they're floating around. They just need to be put into that jigsaw. Or I've got 1 minute. We're talking, right?
That's why I picked up little notebooks. They're back there somewhere.
It's a good exercise to do to try to see how much of that you can get down onto paper. not from copying it from the board, but from your own head. Let's just read it inside the way I just said it outside for the second half. The Iyashminan Bahaf. And if you would have taught me, if I would have only heard this rule number two. Baha ka'amar rabbanan. I would have said Baha in this ka'amar rabbanan. In this, the second case, that's where rabbanan said what they said. In this is where rabbanan ka'amar. That's where they said.
Before Slavish or after Slavish?
Before. Just before the. Aval Bahahi, but in this, meaning the other one, in rule number one, Ema, I might have said, Module, they agree, Rabbanan, Rabbi Meir, they agree with Rabbi Meir. Okay. Top. Everyone good? That's solidified. We're building levels of the building, right? The Mishnah is like the bottom level, telling us the foundation. And we're now building on top of that with a greater understanding, greater understanding, greater understanding. We're refined, like a skyscraper. right? We're refining, we're getting narrower and narrower to pinpoint. And each flaw in itself is a complete understanding, right? Is a complete Gemara of a question, answer, explanation. And then once you've got that, you can then build on that and get to the plan. Because now we've got a new flaw. Now, I don't know what floor we call this, floor number 3, number 4, whatever, number 10, depending on how many levels you want to break what we just learned up to.
That's how a spaceship takes off.
Yeah.
You get to the top, it's like a spaceship, and they count their countdown. It's from ten to one. Right. It's that last brick that you put on it. It makes it take off.
Nice. Fair. Yeah. Okay, so here we've been adding layers to our foundation. The foundation was just an agreement by one party to accept something else, and can he change his mind? So we built layers and layers to refine it. What exactly are we talking about? What scenario? Where that plays? There's now a new level of criteria that we want to put on. Right? So that should be kind of firm. Now, once you've got that, the Gemara can now ask a new question on top of what we learned. This is the last question of the Gemara, like the last sugya, and we go on to the new Mishnah after this. So you only have to have a little bit more brain space, but to add this new floor in, there's not going to be... Okay, so what's the new question? Am I Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish says like this. Fine, everything you've told me is great, but what about this? Machloket lifnei gemara din, aval lachar gemara din, divrei hakol, ein yecholim sovar. What are you going to tell me about what actually we're talking about? Now we think we've understood the Mishnah. Reish Lakish says, yeah, but there's another criteria. When exactly did the defendant, did the litigant, try and change his mind? Right? Something we haven't mentioned till now, but it's a relevant factor. When exactly were we talking about he changed his mind? Did he change his mind before the Gemara Din or after the Gemara Din? Right? Gemara Din here, like we learn in Makot, Gemara Din is when the judges say, make the ruling. So are we talking about a case where the court hasn't yet ruled on who needs to pay up, but they have either case number one? We've got two cases here. So the question of the raised, the question applies to both. In rule number one, we picked three judges, and one of them, or three of them, were no good. And the litigant changed his mind and said, you know what, I don't like these guys. These are bad judges. These are biased. Whatever his reasoning is, I want to go back. Rabbi Meir says you can retract. First case, Rabbi Meir says you can retract. When does Rabbi Meir allow you to retract? Is it only before they made their judgment? Or are you saying even after they made their judgment, you can decide, you know what, that was a really bad case. They had no clue what they were talking about. I'm going back. I want a new court case. That's what Rabbi Meir means when he says you can retract. Or does he mean, no, only before the judgment. Only before the judgment takes place. Fine, so now, but once the judgment takes place, everybody agrees you can't retract. You've got a judgment. You can't go back on a Beit Din psak, even if it's a faulty Beit Din, you agreed that they made the psak, it's done. You can't go back. Rabbi Meir says you can retract, but he's only talking about before the Gemara Din. Okay? That's the question. And the same case in the oath. When he made the oath, and he said, you know what, I allow you to make a lesser oath. And the guy went ahead and made a lesser oath. And Rabbi Meir says, you know what, you can retract, change your mind, ask for the full one. Again, is it only before the judgment's finished, or is it you have to, even after the judgment finished, you can turn around and say, you know what, this judgment wasn't made on the basis of a proper oath. I wanted to go back and I'm retracting this judgment, I want a full oath. That's the question of Reish Lakish. Right, it's a new layer on top of what we've already learned.
Well, we're only talking about Rav Meir. What about Rabbanan?
Rabbanan say in both cases you cannot retract. So it doesn't matter when we're talking about. Can't retract.
That's my question.
Why?
Are they talking about only after the end? Because could you assume that you could retract in the beginning before Gemara Din?
No, because then they would be the same as Rabbi Meir.
But, using the logic.
No, but using logic, if you've got an argument that says Rabbi Meir says you can retract, and Chachamim say you can't. So we have to be talking about the same time frame. Right? So if you say we're talking only after the fact, or only before the fact. So if you say we're talking about after the fact, that the Chachamim say you can't retract, and Rabbi Meir says you can retract, then what about beforehand? So in that scenario, for sure Rabbi Meir, who says you can retract even after the Gemara Din, for sure says you can retract before the Gemara Din. So before then, I hear what you're saying. Could be a... No, I think Rabbi Yaakov at the point, because it could be that they're only arguing in one place, but then they're not arguing in another place. But it's the same. I think it boils down to the same question. The same question. Right.
If we're talking about afterwards, surely they're all going to say that you can't retract. So we must be talking about before. That's what the relation location is.
That's what he's saying as his proposal.
Right.
If we're talking about if Negmardin.
Everyone would say that after the Gazardin was passed down, that you can't retract, that's already been a judgment.
Yeah, but that's a proposal.
Yeah.
Why can't you say the other way? Why can't you say that actually the machloket is after the Gemara Din? That's where they're arguing. But before the Gemara Din, they all agree you can retract. Say it the other way.
First, okay.
So then we don't. We have a different question.
Right. So that's why I brought up the two questions: whether it's before or after.
So maybe the logic is that you couldn't have said that. You couldn't have asked it the second way. Unless the Gemara can do that. One minute.
Then Rabbi Yochanan says...
So Rabbi Yochanan gives the opposite. That's it.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the opposite. The dispute is in the second case. It's not in the first case. Yochi, that's like we said it both sides now. Right? So the dispute is actually after the Gemara Din. That's the way they have the machloket. But before the Gemara Din, there's no dispute. Before the Gemara Din, both allow you to retract, because there's no Gemara Din. There's no judgment yet.
No.
So they will both allow you to retract, and it's only in the case after the Gemara Din that you have machloket whether or not you can retract it. Right.
Maybe he says everyone agrees that before the Gazara Din, everyone can contract.
Right, so that's what the Gemara is going to ask. Gemara is going to ask now, when Rabbi Yochanan said after the Gemara Din, he meant both, they also had a machloket before, and they have a machloket after. Right? The same dispute that we had on Rabbi Yochanan earlier, when we didn't know what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said whatever he said, we didn't know if he meant both in additionally or just specifically. So the same thing over here. So on the face of it, it looks like Reish Lakish says only before the Gemara Din. But after the Gemara Din, everybody agrees you can't retract. And Rabbi Yochanan, apparently, just on the first glance, apparently is saying the opposite. He's arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. He's saying, no, the other way. He's saying the machloket is after the Gemara Din. But before the Gemara Din, there's no machloket. But then the Gemara wants to clarify. He says, wait a minute. Ibaile, who they asked, Laha Gemara Din, when Rabbi Yochanan said after the Gemara Din that there's a machloket, Aval lifnei Gemara Din, Dibrei HaKol Yachol Lachsovo, did he say that before the Gemara Din, you could retract. Sorry, there was a machloket. Or Dilma Bein Zeh Bein Zeh machloket. Or maybe in both cases there is a machloket. Sorry. Right? Both sides. Do they agree before the Gemara Din and they only dispute after machloket? Is that what Rabbi Yochanan meant? Or he meant he agreed with Reish Lakish that the dispute was before the Gemara Din, but his difference was he also agreed that the dispute also after the Gemara Din. Top. So that's the question that we'll, Bezrat Hashem, answer tomorrow. Yofi.
Okay.